It's that time here in Spain where we have the joy of listening to Bill Blevins and his wealth amassed over more than, well, we won't mention how many years you've been in the business,
Bill. Don't worry, it's more than the fingers on two hands, I can tell you
okay.
that.
Okay, but something that comes up regularly is domicile.
Yep.
So why is it so important for British expatriates to understand the concept of domicile?
It is a strange concept. I think the vast majority of British people living in Britain over the period of their life in Britain don't really give the idea of domicile much thought, because it doesn't really, apart from the fact that it governs the status of one's marriage and some other technical aspects of law, in terms of taxation, it doesn't really matter, because if you're British, you live in Britain, you are British domicile. And I think that the dictionary definition of the word domicile, pretty clear, it's where you live, and the word resident means in most people's minds much the same thing. However, they are aeons apart once you leave the UK and you become an expatriate, and for British expatriates, understanding the definition and the consequences of domicile is an enormously important element for estate planning, succession tax planning in continental Europe. It is your domicile, your status of your domicile, not your residence. It's where you belong rather than where you live, and they can be different, as I hope I'll be able to explain. It's quite difficult. But it's domicile, not residence, that determines your liability for UK inheritance tax. Now, most people think when they leave the UK, well, goodbye UK tax. Unfortunately, the UK inheritance tax hook has a very long line to it. And if you relocate overseas, you have to serve at least a minimum period before you can acquire a new domicile of choice. And to be perfectly honest, Howard, I would say that more than 70%, just a guess, but more than 70% of British people who live outside of the UK, and many have lived outside for 25 or 30 years, they still retain their UK domicile because of the links they continue to have with the United Kingdom. Those links can be very tenuous, and you'd almost think of them as being completely insignificant, but I'm afraid the taxman doesn't. And so if you do have, if you have lived outside the UK for, say, 25 years, and you do have a number of links with the UK, you are likely to be deemed to be a UK domicile for UK inheritance tax purposes. Now, why wouldn't they deem you to be a UK domicile if they can collect taxes? For you to prove that you're domiciled somewhere else.
So then what is the difference between domicile and residence?
Well, domicile is very complex, and if you try to deal with this as a DIY project, I'm afraid in terms of tax planning, you're likely to come unstuck unless you're very smart indeed. But domicile is a complex and incredibly adhesive UK common law concept. The basic rule is that a person, you know, is domiciled in the country in which they have their permanent home, the country regarded as their homeland, if you like. However, as I've already explained, you can remain UK domiciled even after living abroad for many years. And so you need to be conscious of what it is you need to do. And in some cases, in a lot of cases, when individuals turn up at our offices and discuss their circumstances, imagining without that they're resident in this place that they live, but not understanding the full concept of domicile, on investigation, they turn out to be not domiciled of the UK by virtue of the way they've established their lives. And if that is the case, there is an enormous tax saving to be had if you then carry out the right sort of financial planning. And indeed, that can even have a long life, so that, for example, if you are a non-domicile and you set up certain arrangements and you later, you or your widow or widower return to the UK, you can still find yourself outside of the UK inheritance tax net. So it's a very important concept to understand.
So, Bill, I understand there are, in fact, three types of domicile under UK law. Mm. So what are these?
Well, everybody under UK law has what's known as a domicile of origin. That's where you are born, generally speaking. There are minor exceptions to that. It's where a child takes his father's domicile. Now, if it's a single or an unmarried mother, there are some fine elements of complexity. It's not necessarily, as I say, your country of birth. You usually adopt your father's domicile. Then there's a thing called the domicile of dependence. Now, that only applies to women who were married before 1974. And if you, for example, married before 1974, and you were a Chinese lady, but you married a British domicile, a UK domicile, before 1974, you adopted your husband's domicile as your own domicile, and that also applies to your children and other dependents. So that's your domicile and dependents. And the one that I think is of most interest here is the domicile of choice. Now, that is something you can acquire when you've left the UK and have set up your life and everything around your life indefinitely to remain somewhere else other than the UK. So whilst changing your domicile is difficult, it is possible. It needs to be carefully considered and a planned process. There are no set rules. Domicile is not defined in UK statute. Every case is tested at a point in time when there's a possibility of a claim, usually when the individual has died, to see whether or not they can unravel your affairs to make you a UK domicile and therefore collect tax. Now, all of this will depend on your own particular circumstances and your longer term intentions. If at your death, which it will inevitably, if you're British, find its way back to the UK in one form or another, if you're then challenged by HMRC in the UK, the onus is on your estate, your beneficiaries, your trustees, if you like, who are the inheritors of your assets, to prove that you were not a UK domicile at the date of your death. And of course, you won't be here to stack up the argument. And the truth is that the revenue in the UK have a very deep pocket to continue to chase these arrangements. There have been so many examples, Howard, of very limited associations with the UK which continue to render you domicile. Charles Claw, he many years ago, this is one simple example often quoted in presentations about UK inheritance tax. Charles Claw left the UK, sold all of his UK properties, sold all of his UK interests, and relocated to Monaco. And he took up residence in Monaco. After a certain period of time, he acquired a Monegasque passport, a Monegasque driving license. He never returned to the UK during the period he lived in Monaco. And then one evening at dinner, in the company of the man who was then his lawyer, Mr. Saner, and the Marquis of Milford Haven was at the dinner. And then Charles Claw subsequently died. And when they asked and challenged his status to see whether or not he was a UK domicile, they asked these people, Saner, his lawyer, did Charles Claw ever suggest that he was still a UK domicile? And he said, well, there was an occasion at dinner when he said he regretted sometimes the way in which he disposed of all his assets and sometimes wished that he could return to the UK. That was sufficient enough a link coming out of the man's spoken word for the revenue to claim millions of death duties from Charles Claw. Now, that was a long time ago, but the principle still remains. There are people being described as domiciles of the UK who in some cases have only spent a few years in the UK. It's a tenacious and difficult concept to unravel yourself from, but it's possible.
So if somebody's listening to this and they say, right, I want to get this sorted before I die, what steps would you advise them to take?
Well, I think, first of all, you've got to sit down and speak to somebody who understands the concept of domicile, and that is one of the key training areas, one of the key skill areas within the Blevins Franks Empire, because we are dealing, essentially, within our business only with people who've chosen to live somewhere outside of the UK. And so we have developed a very fine and proven experience in dissecting an individual's lifestyle and other aspects of their way of life to be able to give a fairly solid answer. And indeed, we do run a domicile determination service for potential non-domiciles to get them from perhaps tenuous links with the UK that may end up costing hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in inheritance tax, and moving them by the way we manage the things that make them a domicile to another position, which can take them outside of the domicile of the UK and by which they can obtain a domicile of choice. Now, you don't want to jump out of the domicile of origin frying pan and into the domicile of choice fire. You know, you wouldn't really need necessarily to become a domicile of a non-domicile of the UK to find you're a domicile of Spain. Well, that isn't necessary, because You only need to be resident of Spain to be liable for succession tax in Spain. So you could be a domicile of the UK and liable for UK inheritance tax, and at the same time be a resident of Spain and be liable for succession tax on the same assets in Spain as well. Now, and there isn't a double tax treaty between the UK and Spain that covers these two taxes. So it is an essential area for people in retirement living in Spain to sit down and clarify, so that at least they understand where they sit in the domicile residence equation and understand what they can do to move from a point of risk and therefore tax cost to a point where they are legally, legitimately secure, but outside of both the UK inheritance tax net and the Spanish succession tax net. I've said this before, Howard, several times over the last 25 or 28 years that we've been talking to each other. We in this industry, we consider successional inheritance tax a voluntary tax. I don't mean to sound facetious, but what I mean by voluntary is that if you don't plan to avoid it legitimately, then you are effectively volunteering to pay it. So it's an option that you have to come and speak to Blevins Franks about where you are on that domicile resident spectrum and get them to give you solid, objective advice that you can rely upon to move you from perhaps a point of risk and therefore cost, tax cost, to outside of that risk and having not that tax cost, because it is your beneficiaries and your dependents who will have to suffer that cost.
Yeah. So I suppose our listeners understand as much that if you've moved to Spain and you want to shake off your UK domicile, and that's because you want to protect their heirs from paying UK inheritance tax.
Yeah, I mean, look, anyone who's deemed, even if they've lived in Spain for 30 years, and I know someone who actually has been in Spain for 36 years, and I've recently discovered that they are still UK domicile because of their links to the UK. But anyone who's deemed to be a UK domicile is liable to 40% inheritance tax on their worldwide assets, that including the property in Spain and anything else you've got offshore. There is a tax-free allowance. It's pretty modest. And there are some changes coming gradually by up to the year 2020. There's a new family home allowance, which, if you're very fortunate, can get you up to a threshold per couple of $1 million free of tax. There are some restrictive conditions attaching to that. But many people do, when they suddenly work out their wealth, have considerably more than $1 million in assets. And it's not just the UK. You know, if you come and talk to Blevins Franks about your domicile position, we've got to sit down and talk to you about the Spanish version of inheritance tax, known as succession tax, and that is a punitive tax. The rates of Spanish succession tax, depending on who you're passing assets to, rise to in excess of 80%. Who on earth would want to be the victim of either UK's 40% tax or even worse, to the maximum rates of tax that apply in Spain? So, you know, generally speaking, it's a worthwhile exercise to sit down and understand what these things are, and then you will be in a position of knowledge to be able to take steps to avoid the worst implications of it. The problem with domicile, and I'm sorry to sound a little blasé, but not really many non-financial services individuals will really understand the complexity of domicile. And, you know, I've said this before as well, but the trouble is you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. So there's no point guessing. You might as well sit down and talk to experts who can give you the right answers. You don't have to do anything, but at least if you understand what the risks are, you're in a better position to make the right decisions.
Indeed. And you can decide. Thank you, Bill. The website is a good place to get in contact with your many staff.
Yeah. The www.blevinsfranks.com. There's a whole raft of information on that website. You may find stuff on there about domicile, but for sure, the domicile determination test, if you're concerned to avoid UK inheritance tax and Spanish succession tax, you ought to be availing yourself of that service by contacting your local partner. There'll be a partner who lives quite close to you. He lives and works in your area, and he is an expert in the services that you're likely to need.
Thank you very much, Bill. We'll talk again at the same time next week.
It's a pleasure, Howard. Have a good week.